Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yes, it is, and good afternoon. We are live from the Erie County Fair. Joe Beamer with you. For the next 2 hours, we'll be joined by our Brayton Wilson in just a few minutes. He is partaking in some celebrity showdown today, and we're gonna make sure we understand exactly what it is he is participating in and what he was disqualified in just a few just this time last year. We'll also be joined by the by Chris Hervadas of the Erie County Sheriff's Department at 1:30. And we'll be taking your calls, 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get you on the show. Again, we are live at the Erie County Fair. You can come by. We've got Plinko. We've got the SPCA here. And we're here talking with you. Met some listeners here yesterday. Saw a few today while I was doing the food judging. And let me tell you, I mean, there is great food at the Erie County Fair, right? I mean, too much to go through and mention. But, I said yesterday that I had learned my lesson when it comes to food judging. Well, I had not. Because today, the first three things on my plate, what do? I eat the whole thing. I don't say, okay, we need to make room. And then by the end of it, again, delicious things in front of me. The last thing I ate was a brownie-filled chocolate chip cookie. It was absolutely delicious. But after two bites, if I had another bite, we wouldn't be on the air right now, right? I would not be here to talk with you fine people. So it's great, but, you've got to prepare yourself and You gotta know what your limits are. But great food here at the fair. Great acts here at the fair. Did you know Mr. Boombasket himself, Shaggy, is at the fair this year? I'm hoping to get him on the show. That would be great if we could get Mr. Boombasket on the Joe Beamer show. That's what we're trying for. He is here this year, and Everclear, I believe, is at the fair this year. I believe that's a free show with admission. I go back to some of the shows that I saw at the Erie County Fair, 98 Degrees. That was a great show. The Heating Up Tour. So they always bring good talent through here, and there's so much to do. There's SEALs doing tricks here this year. They're right near our tent. You got the exotic animal guy. We don't need any snakes brought to the BEN tent, please. You've also got the county executive. He is talking about being at the Erie County Fair. Now, why he won't stop by our tent and do an interview?
I don't know.
I mean, you would think he'd want to talk to the constituents, and you would talk to the most people if you're on this very station. So we're going to try to get him to this tent before the fair is over. And I think it's a reasonable question to ask. Hey, come on the fair and just ask some questions. You know, or answer some questions. You are the county executive. And the fact that you're in Erie County right now, this might be the best chance we have to talk with you. So hoping that can happen in the next 11 days of the fair. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. And like I said, we've got so much to talk about. But our very own Brayton Wilson is here. And he and I judged some food this morning, this late morning. And he is here not only to talk about that, but talk about what he is going to be involved in later today. I'm sorry, Brayton, I didn't put a chair there for you.
It's all good. No worries.
Now, Brayton, let me ask you, before we get to what you're doing tonight, what did you think of the food judging?
That was the first time that I've ever gotten the chance to actually judge food without, you know, personally judging it myself. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of good fair food to try out. A lot of good different items, all different types of delicacies and everything. So, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm stuffed, though, so I'm going to need to take a lot of steps around here, kind of burn some of that off.
Yeah, a lot of walking around the fair. The watermelon refresher I thought was really good.
Yes.
Like, that was... Yes. Surprisingly, probably my favorite thing. And
yeah.
It came at a good time. I was pretty thirsty.
Yeah, that's definitely a drink that if it gets really hot out, you have that. It's got the nice sweetness to it and refreshness to it, but then it's got the kick of the jalapenos to it.
Now, we were told that we were going to get a free lemonade. Did that happen after I left?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, good.
But that's
oh, it's fine. I just want to make sure I didn't miss out on it.
No. You didn't miss out on anything.
Do you have a favorite of what you tried?
Man, those the cheesecake pierogies.
Cheesecake pierogies. Okay.
It was phenomenal. That was so good. I mean, there was a lot of different things that we tried that I really did enjoy, but the cheesecake one stood out so perfectly for me just because it had it was almost like a crispier pierogi to me. Almost like it was deep fried, and then the sherbet on top and just the way that mixed and kind of worked together, especially once the sherbet melts a little bit. That was so good.
Yeah, that was good. My favorite was the tacos.
Oh, yes.
The tacos with the watermelon.
Yeah.
Really
trying to remember
good.
What they were called, the berry melon or something like that, berry melon tacos.
Because you hear it, you go, oh, there's watermelon in it, but the meat is so good.
Yes.
The watermelon does nothing but compliment it. It's really good.
Yeah. And like, there is a little bit of a spice to it. Like, you didn't try it with the lime, but I did. You add that lime to it. It adds the little zestiness to it, and then it all kind of evens itself out with the sweetness of the watermelon.
Very good. Very good. Now, Brayton, you are staying here because you have something happening tonight.
Yes.
What is it?
So it's the Celebrity Challenge. It's the second year that they've done this at the Erie County Fair. Last year, I got the chance to participate, and that was a lot of fun. Last year, we showed sheep. So
what's that mean?
So essentially, the whole point of the Celebrity Challenge is you're paired with a junior showman from 4-H, and they've got their animal they're showing for market, showing for whatever they're doing. And the whole point is you learn from them. They kind of guide you in, like, how you present your animal to the judges. And the judge last year was Jess Underberg, the CEO of the Erie County Fair. I'm sure she'll probably do that again this year. The junior showmen, they guide you on how you should present your animal, what you should be doing, like, you know, as you're walking and presenting them, you're focused on the judge, you're also guiding the animal and trying to ensure that they're disciplined and everything like that. And I got disqualified last year, unfortunately.
That's my favorite part of the whole story. So we wanted to talk to you about that.
Yes.
So what happened? How were you doing when you got to the point that you were disqualified?
So it's funny because my wife, she was a 4-H'er in Cattaraugus County for years. So she had warned me before about this and was just like, I don't know if you should wear a hat there, Brayton, because you weren't allowed to do it. But then again, things have changed over the years.
No.
Because when she was showing, like, as a 4-H'er, she had to be a certain age requirement. And now 4-H'ers can be younger before they can start showing off livestock and everything like that. I think you could be 5 now, where I think my wife, she was
seven or eight before she could show anything, so they got younger.
Your wife had given you the warning.
She gave me the warning that this could be a possibility, but she didn't know because, hey, things have changed over the years. So I show. I felt like I did really well. Jolene, who I had as my junior showman, she was great. She helped guide me the entire way, showed me how to, you know, present your lamb when, you know, you're trying to present to the judge. You know, right. You got to make sure that their back legs are straight and kind of extended back out a little bit. And I thought I did really well. I didn't lose control of the sheep at all, and just thought I did really well. And then when it came time for the judging, Jess Underberg was just like, well, we have three contestants. I think it was three of us that had hats on, but it's just like, you guys are all disqualified because you have hats on. I'm like,
they didn't
well,
tell you?
No. They didn't warn us about anything before, so now I've got that little bit extra competitive edge this time around.
Yeah, of course.
But I'll tell you what. Last year for that event, it was so hot that I'm glad I had the hat on, so I have no regrets.
Okay. All right.
I have no regrets because the hat saved me from sweating just completely drenched. I mean, I was already sweaty with like my back and chest and everything, but like if I was sweating, I would have been just wiping my hands on my face the whole time and just sweating my eyes, and that would have been awful. So right. Having the hat helped. I don't know how it's going to go this year, but I'm willing to accept the challenge knowing that I can't wear a hat, but we're gonna give it a go and see if I can get myself into the winner's circle this time.
There you go. And that is tonight at what time?
I believe that's at 7 o'clock. It's over at the Livestock Barns. 7 o'clock. I know that Clay Moden from WIRK, he was in it last year. I think he's in it this year. I know Patrick Ryan from Channel 4 is going to be as part of
it
this year. He's already here, and he's like me. He's going to be sticking around for pretty much the entire day and getting ready for that and checking things out. And I think it was Chelsea Lavelle from Channel 4 who won it last year. And she's in it again this year.
Returning
so.
Champ coming back.
Yes.
And now what are you doing this year?
So this year we're going to be doing calves. Calves this year. So
what exactly are you doing?
So we're just the same as last year, working with the junior showman. They're going to show us how they show their cows and their calves and walk around the barn. They're going to tell us, oh, hey, wow. You need to present your cow this way. So we got to know how to present when the judge comes through and sees, and how we handle the cow, and how, you know, the junior showman handles the cow too. So,
okay. So I completely misunderstood what you were saying. I told David that you were milking cows.
No.
It was a competition of who could milk.
No.
Okay.
Now I think I remember a few years. This was probably pre-COVID. I think Brian Mazurowski was in a competition here at the fair when they sort of did their own little. I think it was a sort of a celebrity challenge thing, but it was a much smaller sort of operation where they were chucking hay bales.
Oh, jeez.
And
that
listen,
sounds like a very Mazurowski
listen,
thing.
Listen, I would have done that if I had known that was a potential option for me. I absolutely would have been chucking hay bales here because every summer I at least do it once or twice just to help out my father-in-law at his barn that he has. So, I've been doing that for a long, long while, and if they ever do that again this year, you know, here at the Erie County Fair, I'd absolutely do that in a heartbeat.
Now, Brayton, you know, we're here. We get invited to some of the stuff because of through work. Before your time at BEN,
mm-hmm.
were you a regular fair goer? Was the fair part of your summer?
Yeah, I mean, I came here enough when I was younger. It wasn't something that was sort of a staple of my summers, was being right. sure to get to the fair. Just because when I was younger, I didn't show any animals. I didn't, you know, have any interest in any of that.
Right.
And, you know, there was enough that I was already doing over the summer where sometimes my parents would be like, hey, you want to go to the fair? And it'd be like, yeah, sure, let's go. And then other times it was like, do we have time for the fair? Is that a possibility? You know, when I was really younger, I think it was my grandparents that brought me here quite often for the fair. We would go here. We'd go to Cattaraugus County Fair. Have you ever been to the Wyoming County Fair?
I have not.
Oh, my God. So the Wyoming County Fair, let me just try to think here. So the racetrack, it could probably fit inside the racetrack. It's tiny. It is a tiny, tiny fair. It's got its charm, but it's a very small fair. I'm trying to think of the last time I was there, but I mean, I remember just seeing, I have family that lives out that way, and we haven't gone to it, but they were there last year, and they said, yeah, no, that's the smallest sort of fair, county fair ever.
Well, I've been
it's
to the,
teeny tiny.
I've been to the Steuben County Fair, so
oh, okay.
I know a small fair.
Yeah, I can imagine
there
so.
There in Bath, New York.
Yeah.
Looking. It's funny, growing up, I remember going to the Steuben County Fair, unless my memory's playing with me. I thought we went there a couple times when I was a kid. You know, it's funny, the Erie County Fair, I mean, there, you know, I have to own this, because there's before we started broadcasting out here, I used to ask people, what's the big deal? Why are so many people going multiple days to the fair? And then last year I was here every day with the station, and I get it. Like, there's a lot to do. You can't, if your goal is to do everything at the fair, you can't do it in one day.
Right. Especially at this fair.
Yeah.
At a Steuben County, at a Wyoming County, even Cattaraugus County. Like, I was there last week. Not the day that the ride malfunctioned and people were sitting on top of the swings there, which that was something.
That would have been in your rap.
Funny story about that is my sister-in-law took my niece and nephew to the fair, final day of the Cattaraugus County Fair. She had told me that literally 30 minutes before that ride broke down, that my nephew was riding on that swing like probably three or four times in a row. And then they walked away. I think they might have left just as that was happening. But still, it was just one of those things where, oh, hey, if it was 30 minutes later, you would have been stuck up there.
I have a similar experience. My wife and I took a picture in front of what is now the new stadium when it was just the pit.
Yeah.
Less than 10 minutes later is when the guy covered himself in the Johnny house and then hopped over the fence.
Yeah.
Like, we took one of the last pictures before that guy had jumped in the
pit. That's something. The memory of the pit. That'll always be talked about for years.
We're talking to the sheriffs at 1:30. I'm going to see if they have any memories of, you know, with that helicopter. Because I can see the pit beautifully from my seats. Mm-hmm. And like three games in a row after that, there was the helicopter. I was like, oh my gosh, is that purposely
another person
over the pit?
Another one.
Now, you know, a lot of people say this is their favorite part of summer, but it's also their least favorite because it marks the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say marks the official end of summer?
Labor Day.
It is Labor Day?
Labor Day for me. It's always Labor Day because, obviously, as a kid, you'd have Labor Day off, and then the very next day, you're back to school.
Yep.
That was always the end of summer for me, was because, you know, that was it. Now, it's Labor Day still because Labor Day comes, and then what happens 3 days later?
Football
season opens.
Yep.
That's my marker now. Even as I got older, it's like, okay, Labor Day is still that day because everything that happens before that, it's summer, you're still enjoying yourself. You know, Labor Day weekend's always Wing Fest now, so that's another good way to moniker, like, hey, when does summer end here in Western New York? Wing Fest. Boom, there you go.
And Wing Fest back downtown.
Yes.
Shout out Drew Cerza. I will agree with
you. Did you not like it at the stadium? What was it about the stadium that...
I loved it at the stadium.
Okay.
But its roots are downtown.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
So I love that it's at downtown. I do hate to say that because of the Hokies, I will not be in town.
Mm.
And, you know, but I love the Wing Fest. It was great at the stadium in Orchard Park. It's going to be great downtown because it's back in its roots. And Drew Cerza said it when he was talking about bringing it back downtown. Downtown needs something,
yes,
right? It needs that something, and this could really,
this
will
for sure
really help it. I'm with you on Labor Day, but for me, it's because college football.
Mm-hmm.
College football, even though now college football starts the week before that week zero
in
those crappy games. But Labor Day weekend, I mean, it is the first full weekend of college football.
Yep.
And for me, when I see football, it is fall, and then you have the, on Main Street in Clarence, the great pumpkin pet. What do they call that?
The pumpkin farm.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have that. You know, Saturday morning there before college football, it starts getting cool in the air. But it's not cool right now. It's hot.
Yeah,
it's hot. We got to do it. And Brighton, good luck.
Thank you.
Not only do I hope you don't get disqualified, even though I have to say I do love that story. It's even better when you mention the part that your wife gave you the warning.
Oh yeah, no, you live and let learn with some things like that. And again, she was just like, I mean, things have changed, so maybe you can get away with it now this year. No, I'll definitely be ready to go and ensure that maybe I come away with some hardware for WBEN.
Yes, do WBEN proud. Well, you already do, but here at the fair tonight and Brighton, it was fun spending the morning testing some food.
So much fun. Thanks, Beam.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
having
Brayton.
Me on too.
That is WBEN's Brighton Wilson. You hear him in the newsroom, and he will be doing WBEN proud tonight. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chris Hervanis from the Erie County Sheriffs, talking about not only, you know, their whole thing here at the fair, but bill season, the final season of the old stadium, and, you know, what that means for traffic, what that means for parking. It actually will mean that for parking for a few more seasons, because it's not like the old stadium is going to disappear once kickoff starts in 26. So we'll talk to him about that and so much more. It's Joe Beamer live from the Erie County Fair. Stop by, say hi, give some money to the SPCA. Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer live here on News Radio 930 WBEN at the Erie County Fair. Great to be with you on this Thursday. It is hot to begin with, and we are in the back of the tent, and there's no circulation. There's walls. Let me tell you, I worked out before I got to the fair today, and I mean, I am still, my body probably thinks I'm still working out because of all the sweating I'm doing here, but it is great to be with you. Great to be at the fair. We are scheduled to be joined by Chris Hervadas from the Erie County Sheriff's Department, and once he gets here, we will bring that to you on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to also remind you that Hardline this weekend we'll be live from the fair, and you know we have been informed that the county executive and other elected officials at the county level are here at the fair, actually very close to where we are. So it would only make sense that a couple of them walk over and actually be our guest live on the air. Will that happen? Who knows, but that is what we are hoping to see happen on Hardline this Sunday and the following Sunday. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. You want to talk about your fair experience, what you look forward to, and what what you don't like. What's one thing that you wish would change? 803-0930, star 930. I wanted to get into this. I kind of want to do this in the second hour, but we'll do this now. The county executive, of course, put this thing on Twitter, and I just think it's so tone deaf, which is not anything new. He put, "Did you know that Erie County has a climate action plan? We can reduce pollution and make our community safer and more resilient to climate change. No one wants to breathe dirty air or drink contaminated water. Public health relies on a healthy planet." So he posts that with some picture. I think he thinks people are going to take it and, you know, put it on their Instagram page. It is ironic that this is coming from the Erie County executive in a county where beaches are regularly closed in the summer because there's too much poop in the water. I mean, out of all the beaches in New York State, right here in Erie County, we have the most closed beach thanks to poop in the water. So I think it's just a tone-deaf statement. And again, you know, no one wants to address that. We can't talk about something that's been going on
every year that I can remember, every summer I can remember. No. Let's stay away from that. But if we can make a big stink about the Erie County Climate Action Plan, again, are we benefiting from it? Because there are still people who are sitting at a beach right now wishing they could go in the water. So, again, that's something he posted earlier today that I thought I would bring to you fine people here on the show. Again, I'd love to talk to him. You know, we have our Wednesdays with a Democrat. We had Kevin Hardwick yesterday. It was great. It was great. He got his point out. I got to push back where I thought needed push back. We ran out of time, as we always do in the segment. Again, you come and talk. If you're a confident person, and if you actually believe what you're saying, and you have the intelligence to back it up, why would you avoid talking with people who disagree with you? That's not this. What we're supposed to do in our politics is talk with people who we're supposed to talk more with people who disagree with us, and try to find either common ground or at least understand our differences. But you've got elected officials in this county, especially, who they don't want to talk with anybody. They just want to puff out their chest, talk about how great they are, and then. Ignore anyone of opposing thought. And again, I mean, 40-some percent of your constituents didn't vote for you. Does that mean they just don't mean anything to you because they're not votes? You don't want to do anything for them because they didn't vote for you? It's very telling. That's what I have to say. 803-0930, *930, if you want to get on the show. I do not have my call screen computer with me today, so Jimmy Stelliano doing extra hard work will be texting me those callers if they come in. There was another thing that came across today that I wanted to bring to you, and that is the strike report. The strike report from the New York State. Oh my gosh, it's on here somewhere. The New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association released a post-strike report to its members and the public today that provides critical context to the underlying issues that pushed members to the breaking point on February 17th. The non-sanctioned strike was a result of dismal working conditions that have been deteriorating for years. Included in the report, the union identified critical factors that led to the strike on the 17th. Crushing mandatory overtime, surging violence, staffing crisis, and state neglect. The conditions identified in the report were a result of union leadership listening to thousands of overworked and underappreciated members over the course of several years as conditions in New York State prisons continued to decline and the safety of sworn and civilian staff became paramount. This report should shed light on the vital issues that led up to February 17th that the state failed to recognize or minimalize in their strike report issued on May 9th. So, again, I mean, we are months removed from the strike and the state still not addressing, I mean, this is the union addressing, the state still not addressing the issues that brought people to the breaking point. And again, these are the people that keep our prison safe, but they also need to be safe as well. And, you know, they feel like the state is working against them. I mean, we heard countless people, current and former correction officers, call in day after day after day and talk about the conditions of the prisons. I mean, we had people who had been retired for 10 years that would call in and talk about how bad it was 10 years ago and how they can relate and how they can understand why they would be pushed to the breaking point. But the state, you know, again, where were they? We saw Republicans on the line, right? We saw members of Congress on the line. We never heard an apology. We never saw anything actually repaired or made better. And we are still waiting for some admission of oversight at the state level. And I don't think that has been done to a point where the corrections officers would be satisfied. And, you know, it's been a while since we've checked in. I'd like to know from anyone out there, anyone who's working in the prisons or knows someone, 803-0930, star 930, what are the conditions? You know, we're a few months removed from the strike. What are the conditions in the prisons? Have they gotten better? Are you satisfied with communication from the state? 803-0930, star 930. That will get you on the show. You can also text me, 803-0930, star 930, on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. That will be the number to get on. But currently, we are joined right here at the fair by Chris Hervadas. He is of the Erie County Sheriff's. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got a chair. Well, here, I'll move over. You sit here.
Very good.
Sorry about that.
No, not a problem.
I had a whole break to prepare, and I'm unprepared. So, Chris, how's the fair going for you so far?
Oh, you know, we love these days. They are truly called the 12 best days of summer for a good reason. We love seeing the community come in and out of our booth that we have in Expo Hall this year. That's a new location, by the way, from last year, the Expo Hall for us, right next to the New York State Lottery where they're set up. We love seeing people come in and out. We love communicating with them. It's such an important part of policing in the 21st century, is speaking with the people who we serve and hearing about their concerns and showing them and telling them a little bit about what we do.
All right. So it's day two. It's hot as heck. And you've got pants on.
I know. So I learned my lesson. Obviously, I didn't learn my lesson last year. I should say last year on opening day, I was walking around here in a suit and it was hot day. Yesterday, I was smart. I was walking around in shorts.
Yeah.
When I was here on day one, obviously, I didn't plan it out for day two well enough.
No. Well, you're also not in the back of this tent. I don't know. This adds like 20 degrees. Now, what's the big focus of the Erie County Sheriff's right now in August of 2025? What are you guys keeping your sights on?
Oh, well, it's such an exciting time. You know, obviously summer's coming to an end and we're looking forward to the start of the school year, of course. Our SROs are getting ready for that. But, of course, there are still several weeks left in summer. We have the Bills season ramping up with the preseason game on Saturday and the regular season kicking off a month from now. We, of course, have the fair, which is a big part of our community outreach for the month of August. So the month of August, one of the busiest months of the year for us, no doubt about it. And, of course, that goes along with everything we do on a daily basis, primarily patrolling about 600 square miles across the county and operating the Erie County Holding Center and Erie County Correctional Facility.
I want to get to that in a second, but the Bills have their home preseason game this weekend. Is that like preseason for you guys? You guys get back into the groove of things?
In some ways, yes, and you can add the blue and red scrimmage that we had.
Yeah.
Last Friday, onto that as well. It gives us a chance to get back into the swing of things. We had the George Strait concert back in June. So once you go from the end of the season, which for the Bills is late January,
thankfully,
and hoping that's the case, of course, again this year, to the concert in June. That's several months off, so it's good to have the concert, have that blue and red scrimmage, and now have this preseason game against the Giants on Saturday so that we can get back into the stadium, get re-familiarized with the surroundings. And, of course, when we talk about next year, we're talking about the new stadium.
Yep.
So there will be a lot of familiarization with the surroundings. But we're looking forward to the last year at Highmark Stadium. And, boy, we're sure hoping that we'll have a specialized detail for a parade sometime in mid-February.
I'm hoping that will go through the city, though.
Presumably, yes, it would go right through the city, but certainly we would have look forward to having a role in the security
for sure.
At that.
For sure. Now, the new stadium, obviously traffic issues every year. You guys talk about, okay, the traffic this year. Now, when the new stadium opens next year, you're still going to have the old stadium sitting there. So what does this mean for the next few seasons of traffic? And, you know, because every year that's one of the main things that we're called into. Like, what's the traffic going to be like? Where am I going to be able to park? Like, how are you guys looking out the next few years with the old building still sitting there?
Yeah, this season and next season – I think the Bills would tell you are the two toughest seasons in terms of parking, at least in terms of the number of parking spaces actually on the stadium footprint itself that are available. Because like you said, this season you're going to have no available parking to the west of Abbott Road in terms of on stadium property. And then next season, as you mentioned, even though we will have the new stadium opened up, the current stadium, the current Highmark Stadium, isn't going to be demolished or knocked down in time. So certainly that is another thing that we are getting the word out to people. Be aware that this will be a issue, parking. Have a plan. Have a plan to park in an area that's easily accessible to the gate that you plan to go in based on wherever your seats are. Carpool, please consider carpooling. It'll make your life so much easier if we can reduce the number of vehicles in the area, and that way everyone can get to the stadium and then get home sooner.
Now, you mentioned the holding center and the Erie County Holding Center, and we were talking before you got here about the corrections officers and everything. What is the condition of the Erie County jails right now?
Well, you know, as you know, Joe, we recently, the county commissioned a study of the needs of our correctional operations. As you mentioned, we operate two facilities right now, and most counties just don't do that anymore. Most county sheriff's offices just have one facility. And it creates some operational redundancy for us the way we have it now. And I think what you found when the study was released earlier this year was that it makes not only fiscal sense, but sense for our staff and incarcerated individuals to consolidate our operations at one facility in the town of Alden, where we currently have the Erie County Correctional Facility. So if we were to move forward with that, we would renovate much of the existing facility and then expand out there. The county owns a lot of space out there. In this scenario, the holding center would we would discontinue our use of that. Where that stands now, the next step would be a design study, which the county legislature would have to approve throughout the budget process, which will begin here in the next few months. And we're really looking forward to moving forward with this so we can not only improve conditions for our staff, which is very important to Sheriff John Garcia, so that we can also improve conditions for incarcerated individuals and improve the operational feasibility for the taxpayers, because it just doesn't make sense to have two facilities where you have two kitchens. It just doesn't make sense to do it that way anymore.
So, you know, I heard this was a while back. We were hearing that possibly the Grand Hotel was going to be a location of the new, but that's done, right? It's pretty much focused on the one location.
We're focused on the campus in Alden where the Erie County Correctional Facility is right now. Absolutely. Listen, don't get me wrong. If money were not an option, a downtown location would make the most sense, but that's just not the world we live in.
Right.
We have to be responsible for the taxpayer, and the most fiscally responsible option that makes sense is out in Alden.
Now, you have that. What would you say is the most consistent, busy thing you guys do, right? Because, you know, I live in Clarence, so you guys patrol our roads, right? And you've got that in other towns throughout Erie County. Is that the busiest, like the most consistent business? If you know you get what I'm trying to ask?
In a way, I do. And the one thing that is important, I think, for me to stress here is that we're a 24/7 operation. And there's really only one other county agency that at times is a 24/7 operation, and that's the DPW when they have to plow roads in the middle of the night. There is no other county operation that is, like you said, patrolling the town of Clarence, the town of Alden, Grand Island, Holland, Sardinia, 24/7. We have three shifts, of course, at the holding center and correctional facility, 3 8-hour shifts. It's always in operation. And it's the sheriff's responsibility to make sure that we're conducting those operations responsibly and in a way that works out for the taxpayers. So it's a challenge. It's a big one, but it's a one that Sheriff Garcia has taken very seriously and continues to.
Now, I did the food judging when I got here. It was my second year doing it, and I didn't learn my lesson from last year. You talk about not learning your lesson. I did not learn my lesson from last year. First three things that were on my plate, ate the whole thing. Even after last year, I said, you take a taste, you get an idea, you move on. Dude, by that last thing, I can't believe I took two bites. I was like, I think I got enough to mark it down.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just speaking with someone and I told them a story. It wasn't here at the fair, but as the listeners may or may not know, in my last life, I used to be a journalist. And I was asked to judge a pizza competition up in Niagara Falls. And I think there were like 15 or 30 pizzerias, and you had to eat two slices from each of them, just a plain cheese slice and then a specialty slice. And my stomach, albeit it was younger than it is now, so I could, you know, deal with that a little better than I certainly could now. But I went in there thinking, oh, I'm gonna just eat all these pieces of pizza.
Of course.
It's not going to put a pound on me. I'll be fine. I almost had to pull over on the Grand Island Bridge on my way back into the city and throw up. I mean, my stomach was absolutely killing me. The pizza was all great.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely great. But I didn't moderate. And that's the day I learned that lesson. You got to moderate.
Got to moderate. You know, I thought, so I didn't have anything last night. I worked out. There's a Planet Fitness right next to the camp, Erie County. So when I'm here up for the fair, that's what I work out. And I was like, this will be perfect. No. And I'm like, I'm fine now. I've got my bubbly drink here. But man, let me tell you, maybe year three, I'll finally learn my lesson.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Every year we get older and wiser. And, you know, we're happy. The sheriff's office is happy because of the new space that we're in at the fair this year, which I mentioned in the expo hall. We have a bit of a bigger footprint, so we're able to offer a little bit more at the fair this year than we were last year. You can come out and you can see some of our special operations equipment, some of our special operations vehicles. You can register to be a part of any of the number of community-based programs. We have the Blue Envelope program, the Yellow Dot program. You can get a child ID card for your child, great programs that we're offering under the direction of Sheriff Garcia that you can sign up to be a part of if you come out here to Hamburg over the next week and a half or so.
Now, is that where all the county offices are, or are you guys all spread out?
The here at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, is the clerk next to you guys and the executive next to you guys.
Some of the other county departments are in a different location.
Okay.
The sheriff's office equipment is just in the. We're sharing that location in Expo Hall with the New York State Lottery. All the other county offices departments, they're in a separate location.
Okay, so you guys get to get away from them.
Get away from them a little bit. Yeah, it's a small county government footprint.
Yeah.
Downtown, so get a little more space.
You guys see
in
the rest of the year. Hey, Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for having me.
That is Chris Hervadas from the Erie County Sheriff's Department, and we'll be back. It's Joe Beamer live from the fair on News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, that's me. Sometimes you just get into the song and forget you're supposed to be on the air. It's Joe Beamer live from the fair. News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930 star 930 gets you on the show. And I have to say, you know, a lot of people were here yesterday. It was, you know, free admission if you brought some food. But today, there's still a lot of people here, don't get me wrong. But there's a bit of a break. I mean, our promotions table, our SPCA table here, they didn't have a break yesterday. I mean, it was a line of people setting up to play Plinko. And now, we've had a lot of people walk through here today, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you. There's a little bit of a break. It's still a lot of people. We've seen some listeners today. Bill's Elvis was here earlier. It was great to catch up with John, and we've got people walking by. Everyone's got lemonade. Everyone has to have the fresh squeezed lemonade. I had one yesterday. I did not get one today. I probably should have done that during the break. But we are live at the fair. Would love to talk with you. Obviously, during the breaks, don't want to talk with people when I'm talking on the air. But I'm going to be here a little earlier tomorrow, hanging out in the tent before I go on the air. So if you're going to be here tomorrow, and then obviously we'll be here Sunday for Hardline. And, you know, I never stop. I'm going to be at the Thomas Rhett concert tonight in the 107.7, 104.7, the Wolf tent right by the box office. So if you're going to that show and want to stop by and say hi, I'll be there. Thanks to 107.7, 104.7, the Wolf, and Roswell Park. Now, before we spoke with Chris Hervadas about everything going on at the Sheriff's Department. We were talking about the CO strike and the report that was issued today following the strike in response to some of the things the state has said. Now, as we speak today, there are still 3,000 National Guards troops working the prisons. Again, these aren't corrections officers. This isn't what they signed up for. They have been deployed into the prisons because of the 2,000 corrections officers that said, I'm not going back in there. I'm not going back through that. What? We haven't gained anything. Nothing's changed. And the state, instead of working with the corrections officers, Kathy Hochul, instead of going and actually hearing what the corrections officers need, she sent in the National Guards. And we have heard stories of people, you know, of National Guards who say, you know, they not that they don't know what they're doing. They're obviously very capable of being in the guard, but, you know, that... they don't know how long they're going to be there. I mean, again, this number has not really decreased much since a May check-in. I mean, we're in August now. So I'm asking you, 803-0930, star 930, if you're a corrections officer, if you know a corrections officer, or if you're National Guard, and you want to comment on what is going on at the prisons. I mean, again, this is a story that was nonstop in the news when the strike was going on. The strike's no longer going on. They're either back at work or they left. I want to hear from you. 803-0930, star 930. You can also text us on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone said, are there still National Guards working in the prisons? No one seems to want to talk about that. Texter, the truth is, you're right. Yes, there are, and we don't really hear about it anymore. We're not talking about it like we were when it was first happening. Again, this is a report from 2 days ago. It says National Guard soldiers still working in New York prisons 5 months after corrections officer strike. This is from Derek Hyde over at Channel 7. In February, corrections officers protested, we know that. In response to the strike, Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order activating members of the New York Army National Guard to help ensure the safety and security of New York State's correctional facilities. In March, the docs commissioner announced the strike was over and that over 2,000 people who remained on strike and did not return to work received termination letters. At that time, the commissioner said there were over 10,000 security staff working or available to work in prisons. Updated numbers from the National Guard show very little change since April in the number of soldiers actively working inside state prisons, although the strike has been over for months. So instead of listening to the complaints of the people who are working there every day, and again, this isn't just the people who have been working in the prisons. It's people who have been retired for years who were still voicing those complaints and talking about the conditions and what the COs are going over. And again, the fact that you've got Governor Hochul not even wanting to go and meet with these individuals, hear their complaints, hear what the issues they're facing. Instead, just ignoring it, signing executive orders to get the National Guard there. Again, the governor probably assumes that a majority of them didn't vote for her, but that shouldn't mean anything. You should still, I mean, these are keeping your prison safe, you know, good working conditions for the corrections officers. It's not only keeping the corrections officers safe, which is very important, but it's making sure that it's a safe environment for the COs, for the prisoners, for everyone involved. And it seems like the governor just wanted to ignore the complaints of the people on the inside. And we are now months removed from that strike. And again, to answer the question on the text board, the National Guard still there and really have not seen a decrease in numbers over the last few months. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone says, saw a sign yesterday in Hamburg, apply for corrections officer. Oh, yeah, they got the signs up. Who wants to work for a governor? Yeah, I mean, talking about the governor, doesn't have the back of the corrections officers. I mean, you know, it's not an easy job. You know, I have a buddy who's a corrections officer, and I mean, he was telling me through the whole thing about what was going on in the prisons and, you know, what the conditions are. And again, like I don't know why the governor seemed to want to just ignore the problem. I mean, again, I realize that dealing with the corrections officer doesn't have anything to do with Trump. So maybe that's why the governor didn't want to, you know, get anywhere close to it, because she's trying to win these national fights with the president instead of actually worrying and addressing and taking care of what's happening in her own state. This goes back to something we said yesterday, right? You've got people like the county executive, like Senator Schumer. They want to just win these political points against the president and don't want to address what's going on in their backyard. I mean, if you missed the show yesterday, you had Schumer. He was standing in Niagara Falls 2 days ago talking about how awful Trump is in the tariffs. Again, whatever, you can. That's not the point we're debating right now. But you're in Niagara Falls, New York. Maybe you could address the issues of the city and the state that you've been in some position of leadership for 3 decades. But no, that doesn't score the political points. Kathy Hochul going and listening to the corrections officers and trying to find a way to address their concerns, again, unfortunately, doesn't. Unfortunately, for her, all she cares about is scoring the big DC points, and in her world, that's not going to do it. 803-0930, star 930. Someone said, "Well, the union backed Hochul, that they get what they deserve." I mean, it is, again, it is interesting that the union, again, the union leadership, put their weight behind the governor and then is treated like that. I have a feeling they won't be supporting her in 2026. Someone also says, how long can a National Guard's man or woman be deployed and away from their regular 9-to-5 job before their regular employer can terminate them? You know, that's something I haven't even considered. If someone has the answer out there, 803-0930, star 930. We also have this breaking situation in Pennsylvania right now. Two Pennsylvania state troopers have been shot. Two state troopers have been shot in northeast Pennsylvania near Thompson Township. And that story is breaking right now. Whatever we get, we will let you know. And I'm sure Tom Puckett will have something on that at the bottom of the hour. But again, this just coming through. Two Pennsylvania state troopers have been shot in northeast Pennsylvania near Thompson Township. And that is something that we will keep our eyes on here on News Radio 930 WBEN. But that is the update on what's going on with the corrections officers. And as someone said, they saw a sign for hiring COs, and the commissioner announced recruitment efforts, including regional recruitment, $3,000 sign-on bonus for new officers, retention bonus based on seniority, and $3,000 a person for a referral bonus. So these are the recruitment efforts that they have taken to try to bring on new COs, that right now their jobs are being filled by National Guards. But, you know, this all goes back to who is going to sign up for this job. Again, what these corrections officers do, it's not easy. You know, I could never do it. A lot of people could never do it. I mean, they it's a tough job, and God bless them for taking that job. But it's not easy to replace 2,000 corrections officers alone. And then you add the way these corrections officers have been treated by this current administration, by the governor. Why would you put yourself in that situation? For weeks, all you heard was what the conditions were in these prisons, and Albany ignoring these people. That was getting the attention every night. They would take you live. We would take you live. We were taking calls for entire days, talking to people on the lines, people who were in the prisons. And they were getting ignored by leadership in Albany. Why would you now sign up for that job? I would say it's more unattractive than it's ever been. The governor hasn't done any favors. So what Kathy Hochul thinks she's going to do is just continue to use the National Guard obviously, if you're talking to people at the far end of the left spectrum, they want to close prisons, right? I mean, you have a guy in New York City now running for mayor who has said as much, that he wants to close prisons. So this could play right into the far left of the Democrat Party. But it looks like the governor, her plan is just to roll with the National Guard in there until her election, I guess. I mean, I can't imagine this is going to be good pub for her election. She's already getting primaried by her lieutenant governor. That's pretty embarrassing. So I don't know what the end game is, but again, you might not be hearing about it every day, but this is still a battle that's going on. And not only are there still National Guards working in the prison, you have these efforts, and obviously if from April to June or July, you only saw 115 less National Guards, that must mean that the recruitment efforts not working. And again, that's on top. Again, these are nice $3,000 sign-on bonus. Great. $3,000 referral, retention bonus based on seniority. These are all nice things. But it's on the backdrop of what everyone witnessed in February. And with that in mind, again, why would you want to sign on to that when you know you don't have the backing of a majority of leadership in Albany? It's a really awful look. And again, I say God bless to the corrections officers, and you know, for everything, for those who went back and for those who didn't. Again, those who didn't go back, I think we can all understand. We can all understand why they walked away. But it's really sad when you have a governor, and the only thing I can think of, it's not going to score political points for the governor, so why would she waste her time? And that's what it seems like. She was able to get the National Guards into the prisons, but when it's snowing in Buffalo, she can't get the National Guard in on time. 803-0930, star 930. Someone said, we took our complaints directly to Albany, to the Capitol building, and the accidental governor still ignored our request for help. Who would want to work for anyone like that? Here's another question, Joe. New York seen a decline in new volunteers under Kathy Hochul since she seems to think they are her personal clamp crew. Oh, the National Guard. They've seen a decline. Oh, have they seen a decline since Hochul has deployed 3,000 to the prisons? That's a great question. It's a great question on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Another person. I was a correctional officer at a maximum security facility for 7.5 years and chose to resign at the end of the strike because I have never worked for a more incompetent and delusional employer or department in my 39 years on Earth. Benefits and retirement be damned. It was the best decision I ever made. That is a powerful statement from a former corrections officer. Again, 7.5 years, and after the strike, left because of the incompetence at the top of the department. And again, I think a lot of people, I mean, over 2,000 people agree with that texture. And can you blame them? Can you blame them after everything that we witnessed? And then New York State wonders why people are looking for a way out. New York State wonders why people don't want to come and be corrections officers. It's, or do they really, you know? But incompetence, it seems to be a theme when talking about Erie County and New York State. 803-0930, star 930, that gets you on the show. We are live here at the Erie County Fair. We've got the SPCA here. KISS 98.5 is here. 107.7 and 104.7, The Wolf is here. We're here, WBEN. You got Plinko. You can play Plinko for a good prize. And let me tell you, it looks like a lot of people are winning. Right, I see a lot of people walking away with prizes here. So give a dollar to the SPCA, play Plinko, and walk away with one of the many great prizes we have here at the Odyssey Tent. 803-0930, star 930. That gets you on the phone line. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. When we come back, we'll continue taking your texts and calls on corrections officers. And you know what? We are here at the fair, and I would love to know from you, is this the mark of the end of summer? I know as we're sitting here sweating, that's an ironic question to ask, but is this the end of the summer, or what do you look for? What is your benchmark to finally say goodbye for summer. Yes, you know, as Brayton Wilson said in the first segment, very easy when you're a kid in school because, yeah, the day after Labor Day, you're back in class. But as an adult, what is the end of summer for you? And also, when we come back, I saw a ridiculous ridiculous story in the New York Post, so you know I have to share it with you. And it's about going back to dorms and how some parents are living vicariously through their college kid. I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we come back. It's Joe Beamer live at the Fair on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer live from the Fair here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we are here. We are live throughout the Fair. I'll be here every day but Saturdays. So you'll get me 1 to 3 Monday through Friday and then Hardline at 10 on Sunday, hoping to have someone here live at the Fair to talk to on Hardline, but it's the same programming that you are used to each and every day. And it was great to have David here. He is at the Bath Fitter stand for another hour. So if you're heading in, you're on your way to the Fair, make sure you go and see David. Always great to see David here at the Fair. 803-0930, star 930. Let's kick it off in Tonawanda. Bill, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Well, you know, I was on with Tom quite a bit during the strike as Bill from Attica. I worked as a corrections officer in Attica for 25 years, and I just retired at the end of May. I will tell you that the National Guard are going to be there for years because for the few corrections officers that are actually or for the few individuals that are choosing to come on board and become corrections officers, there's about 10 or 20 a month minimum leaving. And just everybody's fleeing the prisons. And even though she does want to close the prisons and she's planning on that, and there's other calls from other people, like you mentioned, to do that, there's only so many prisons you can close and shift the staff around. And a lot of the staff, when you close their prison and they got to try to go work at a prison, you know, an hour or two away, they're going to leave the job as well. It's a no-win situation. I do appreciate your bringing it up and remembering us, because obviously in the couple months since the strike. There hasn't been much said. But, you know, the bottom line is it's not a fixable situation unless Albany actually decides to admit that they're wrong in their policies, their pro-criminal, anti-law enforcement policies, and they're going to change those policies and they're going to give us back our authority and our ability to do our job. And of course, we know that they're not going to do that. And the bottom line is we are being told to dig a hole without a shovel. And, you know, when we complain that, you know, our fingernails are broken, our hands are bloody because, you know, we don't have a shovel, they just tell us to shut up and keep digging. And, you know, there's only so much that you know, these people can take before they say, you know, forget it, I'll go do something else. And even though the job does pay well and it has amazing benefits, it's still a quality of work life issue. And when the work life gets that toxic, where you say, you know what, I'll go and have a lower standard of living, I'll make less money just so I can be happy at work. I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, I actually never planned to retire when I retired. I was not equipped to retire when I retired. So I'm now working another full-time job. I am thankful for my pension, but the bottom line is I left $50,000 a year on the table. That's what I left, you know, to retire. And to me, it was 100% worth it. And it's just, it's so sad because they did take all our authority away. And now the officers in there, the men and women in there trying to do their jobs, they're just punching bags for the convicts. And they just get abused and they get called names by the convicts and they get threatened and they get attacked and they can't do anything because we are actually not allowed to discipline these guys for anything anymore. And it's insanity. It's absolutely insanity.
Let me ask you, Bill, you know, obviously I have nothing but respect for the National Guard, but, you know, these National Guard troops that have been put into these prisons, 3,000 of them still in the prisons, what kind of training are they lacking? And what position does that put the remaining corrections officers in?
Yeah, so obviously the National Guard are not completely untrained for what they're being asked to do. And I feel so sorry for them. I mean, you know, there's a couple issues there. First of all, the massive disruption to their lives. I don't know how long an employer is obligated by law to hold a National Guardsman or a Guardswoman's job. But I heard it was a year, but I haven't confirmed that. But the thing is, I mean, they had lives, they had jobs they were working on, maybe working on advancement, whatever. And they have families, and a lot of them are now working in prisons where they can't go home every night because it's too far from their families. And, you know, this deployment, there's no end in sight. And, you know, as far as going back to your question about the training, so what New York State did is they decided to ask for volunteers from the National Guard and to go to Albany for a week of training, a week of accelerated, you know, crash course training. And you know, there was a decent number from Attica who did that. Not the majority, you know, a decent number. But the thing is, you know, a week of training, it does nothing. And they're not qualified to carry the weapons. So they can't work any armed posts. They can't go out on any trips because they're not peace officers. They don't have peace officer status. And so they can't use force the way we can. And it hampers their ability to do an awful lot. But it's just basically they're being thrown into an entirely alien environment, something they never signed up for. They did sign up to fight a war. They're not being asked to fight a war right now. They're being asked to police convicts with no authority to do so and no tools to do so, even less tools than we have. And we have very few tools. And I just feel sorry for them. They are in such a no-win situation. And, you know, before I left at the end of May, the frustration was just incredible. It was just through the roof. They're trying to maintain good attitudes. They're trying to do the best that they can. But they are so frustrated at what's going on and the fact that there is really no end in sight for them. And, you know, Attica was in a good situation. where we were already down about 100 officers. We only lost another 50 to terminations and resignations during the strike. So now when I left, we were down about 150 officers. But some of these other prisons, they had, 200-300 officers that they lost during the strike, the terminations and the other things. And so the National Guard presence at Attica is relatively small, but at some of these other prisons, it's very large. And because they honestly don't know what they're doing, which is no fault of their own, the convicts are taking full advantage of that, and they are getting in so much contraband and so much drugs and so much other stuff that they're not supposed to have, because the National Guard do not know how to screen for this stuff. They don't know how to intercept this stuff. They're doing their level best, but there's very few officers in some of these other prisons with any time on the job, and a lot of National Guard who are just in it, like I said, in a no-win situation.
So you talk about, you started off by talking about how the National Guard are going to be there for a year or so. So when you look at these recruitment things they put out, $3,000 sign-on bonus for new officers, retention bonus based on seniority, $3,000 person referral, what does that scream to you? Does that show desperation?
No. Many people would say, oh, yes, that shows desperation on the part of New York State, but actually that's just a face-saving measure on the part of New York State. So New York State knows that they have blown up the system, they've sunk the ship, they're still not going to do what they need to fix it, but they know that they've done that. So what they're doing now is they're throwing money at us like crazy. Just before I left, they gave us a $10,000 raise, and I still left. They gave us a salary grade upgrade and, other things. But what they're doing is they're throwing all this money at us. And what's going to happen is when the ship, continues to sink and things get really, really bad and there's a public outcry, New York State is going to stand up there. Kathy's going to stand up there and say, hey, look, we did everything we could. We offered them so much money, it was ridiculous. We were trying to recruit. We were trying to draw them in. And, of course, what they're ignoring and what they're not saying is, we, by our policies, by our pro-criminal policies, we made this environment so toxic that no matter how much money we threw at them, no matter how much money we offered them, nobody would still take the job. I mean, it's insanity. Right now, you could start as a corrections officer now, and with all the other bonuses and everything, and the forced overtime, which the forced overtime is still there, with all that stuff, as a brand new corrections officer, you can make like $140,000 your first year, which is an insane amount of money, and yet nobody will still take the job, because the quality of work life is so poor, it's so toxic.
Bill, great stuff, man. Great insight, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this as it goes on. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, thank you, Joe. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. That's Bill in Tonawanda. Let's go to Amherst. That's where Steve is. Steve, what's your take on everything going on?
Well, he covered a lot of it, but remember, they're a different department than the National Guard. They're federal, and then the correction officers are New York State. Now, if a federal officer, meaning the National Guard, in the prison gets hurt, guess what? They're not covered under federal workman's compensation laws because it's a state facility. They're not covered under New York State law, so they're a different chain of command. Now, their commanding officers tell them no matter what happens to a correction officer in the line of duty, whether he's being, and this is a fact, whether they're being beat down and hurt by the inmates, they're not to intervene because they have no benefits, no coverage. So if they're disabled, they'll never get, the federal people will never get no compensation. Like I said, no disability. It's a totally different chain of command. So they never got any relief by having the National Guard in there because they're not assisting. They're not doing nothing. The National Guard is useless in the New York State prisons just as that.
So are they? What kind of position do you think that's putting the corrections officers in?
Well, I'm retired for 16 years and better, but I know this much. If you cannot protect the people that are on the first line of duty, meaning the New York State correction officers, then what's the purpose
except for publicity, does the National Guard have in New York State Prison to help the officers? It's zero. That's all facade by the governor. It's all lies.
So, Steve, let me. So, you said you're retired for 16 years. The things you heard about the conditions in February, how similar or how different is that from what you left 16 years ago?
Way worse. When I hit my 25 years, the day I hit 25 years, it was so bad in 2009 at the end of March. They wanted me to do another 5-year stint. I told them politely, my time's up. I'm out of here. I'm collecting my pension. We all saw it happening. We saw the changes that they were going to institute. The changes they have instituted make the jails extremely unsafe and dangerous for officers. Now, the other part about it is, what can these officers do? There isn't anything that can be done to stop what's going on. What do they do? Go to 12-hour days that they can work them at least 6 days a week? What kind of relief is that? All I know is that they were, I don't know if it's still going on, but I know of an officer who worked over 24 hours straight at Attica. He was driving home from work. Just listen to this. He fell asleep at the wheel. He got killed. And the other people, the other innocent people involved in the accident are severely injured for the rest of their life. Yet Kathy Hochul doesn't seem to take any responsibility for anything, because she's indemnified in case she sued anyone. So I don't really have an explanation.
No. Steve, thank you for your insight. And are you enjoying retirement?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love being free. Oh, my God.
We're glad for your insight, your insight on all this, and we appreciate you calling in, Steve at Amherst. And like I said, this will be something that obviously continues to go on. I mean, like a texter put this in the first hour. A texter put in, you know, we don't even hear about the National Guard, what the numbers are at. And as I said, I mean, they have not changed much since the strike ended. And obviously something that we'll continue to bring to you. We are live at the fair here all next week as well. Like I said, I'll be here every day but Saturday at the fair, 1 to 3, Monday through Friday, and obviously Hardline 10 to noon on Sunday. Tom Bowerly is following us here, and hopefully today Tom and I's conversation doesn't get disrupted. Tom, how you doing?
Thanks for the curse, man. I really needed that. So you've been talking about the corrections officers, and I'm going to continue the conversation because basically very little, if anything, changed for the corrections officers, except maybe their lives got made a little bit worse. And, you know, here's the thing. I've been reading this article about the new workday for the tech companies because everybody wants to control AI. A 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. workday, 6 days a week. Thought to myself, oh, yeah? Have they talked to corrections officers in New York State? Because isn't that pretty much the standard working schedule right now? And hasn't that been for many years?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it, Tom. I cannot believe, you know, the governor still refuses to address this, and she has completely ignored. I know it all plays into her mindset and what the far left wants to do, but, you would think, you got an election coming up, and she has just completely left our corrections officers behind and left them in, you know, just such awful conditions. I mean, Tonawanda, who I know has talked to you, he said it's like they want them to dig a hole, but they never gave him a shovel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kathy Hochul has left them behind. The Democrats left the corrections people behind, even though it wasn't an authorized strike by the union. These are still working class people. And frankly, the other unions let down the corrections officers.
Yep.
There was a dearth of other union people on the strike with them, which I thought was, disturbing, frankly. And the people who were with the corrections officers, Republican politicians. Go figure. But anyway, I hope that people who are personally connected to the corrections officer situation and the National Guard situation will call in after 3 o'clock to put us in the picture, Joe, because as you know, News Radio 930 WBEN, we led the way on covering the corrections strike. The unauthorized correction strike. And nobody did what we did.
For sure. I mean, there were days where it was callers on the lines, people who knew the situation, and bringing that to you now. Tom, you know, we're here at the fair. You want me to bring you a blooming onion or something? You missing the taste of the fair back there,
Joe,
in the studio?
I really love the Erie County Fair, but that kind of food is just not in my destiny anymore. Just isn't me.
I know, man. I'll tell you, though.
You can bring me a delightful salad. Would you like to bring me a salad? Extra virgin olive oil.
I had a salad today. Hey, in maintenance, you could have a blooming onion once a month. And let me tell you, I will be. Tom, I talked to my coach on Monday, and I said, "Can I have a blooming onion on Friday? I promise." And she goes, "Of course, you can have it. Just keep everything back on track afterwards." So I went to my coach, and I brought it to her, and she said, "Fine, have the blooming onion." So we're in business.
Are you sure the word was blooming and not something else?
It was blooming onion, I guarantee you.
ING, maybe another word in front of that? Okay, all right, just wanted to know.
Well, Tom, can't wait to hear you after Tom Puckett. You have yourself a great day, all right, man?
Already am, sir. Already am.
All right. Tom Bowerly is taking over after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll be back here tomorrow at the Erie County Fair 1-3. And tonight, if you're going to be at the Thomas Rhett concert, I am going to be in the 107.7, 104.7 The Wolf tent, thanks to Roswell Park. So if you're there, stop by, say hi. I'll see you then. Tom Bowerly is next here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.